Hey, what's up, folks? Welcome to another way too early preview show. I'm Lifetime Longhorn Rod Babers, joined by fellow Lifetime Longhorn CJ Vogel. We're on week three, and it means we're talking about the UTSA Roadrunners for the Longhorns. All right, CJ, it's interesting, man. Jeff Traylor, I think we all got a lot of respect for Jeff Traylor. Was once on the staff at the University of Texas, of course, but now, of course, is the head coach at UTSA. One thing I found really interesting, for the first time since Jeff Traylor's been there at UTSA, he's created a really great culture. Part of the culture, that triangle of toughness they talk about from the 2-1-0, is the number zero. Number zero is special to UTSA because the players on the team, they vote for a team captain on offense and defense, and then they wear the number zero. That's like kind of one of the cornerstones of the team. For the first time since he's been there, they're going to have new players on offense and defense wearing those really special numbers for them because they have new leadership, if you will. Frank, basically, they lost their leading passer. They lost their two of their leading receivers as well. One of their defensive captains, Rashad Wisdom, who's a safety, also gone. That's going to be a lot of new faces for that UTSA program. First, probably the first kind of really truly overhauled program since Jeff Traylor's been there. They've had a lot of veterans in that program since he's been there. So this is going to be, I think, a new challenge for Jeff Traylor. We'll see if he's up to it.
Yeah, of course, you know, in UTSA, I think we can all agree here, Rod. I mean, they're tremendous, a tremendous program for what they are, right? You know, I think they're limited going up the scale, but in terms of being able to compete in their conference, they went 7-1 last year. They played a tight game to start off the season, lost by, I believe, a last-second field goal last year against Houston on the road. Of course, lost to Army as well. But that's a team that you look at, they're going to be well-disciplined. They're going to, you know, play within themselves, I think. That's very important for them coming on the road as well. We saw them a few years ago come to Austin and almost, I want to put it in this way, they kind of dominated that first quarter, right? Or that first half. It was 17-17 going into halftime, and their first drive was, you know, almost 9 minutes long. So that kind of speaks to the game plan that they had the first time they played against Steve Sarkisian's offense. And, of course, coming back this year, I expect it to be very similar in the sense that they're going to play their style within their boundaries of their, you know, kind of rules and regulations of the schemes that they've got in place. And they're going to be well coached. You know, I don't expect them to be, you know, playing, you know, disciplined, if you will. So I don't think for all, you know, the hype that SEC teams get and the crowd levels and kind of the, you know, difference in atmosphere, I don't think that will affect this UTSA team all too much. I just think that that's how they've been bred so far, is to stay within themselves and play within the boundaries of what they've been asked to do. I think that's going to carry over.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I was really impressed the last time they played Texas. That, like you said, that was a game, man, until maybe like the middle of the third quarter. It was that pick six that really blew the game wide open. And then Texas really took control from there. But I'm with you. I think it's one of those. He's going to have that team ready to play. They'll be well coached. One little nugget about the last time they played Texas, too, just from my notes. I went out and got my notes. I never throw anything away. So I went out and got my notes from that last game they played Texas. And here's something I found that was interesting. Empty formation. They ran more empty formation against Texas that season than anybody else in the entire Big 12 conference or any opponent they played. I counted 24 plays of it versus Texas. Now you had a veteran quarterback in Frank Harris, probably really. And by the way, one of your strengths of your team was the receiving core. Remember how loaded that receiving core was that they had when they came in here and played Texas. And they ran a lot of empty. They averaged over 9 yards per attempt throwing out of empty. Now, you got different offensive play callers now than you did back then. But that, listen, it's still, Jeff Traylor's an offensive mind, and he was there. One of the things that he found, he was actually one of the first people, because after him, Alabama took the model. And Alabama, remember, their big adjustment in the second half when they beat Texas at in Austin was Bryce Young in empty formation in the second half. Guys, they got that from UTSA and Jeff Traylor, by watching that film and watching how they were able to convert and move the football and how much trouble Texas has had facing empty. And since then, by the way, Texas has still had some problems defending empty formation. But sidebar, everybody's got problems defending empty formation. This is a really tough formation to defend when you got a veteran quarterback who can deliver the football. But anyway, that, so keep that in mind. they, you know, Jeff Traylor may decide, hey, I'm going back to the old game plan. We dominated time of possession in the first quarter, a lot of it out of empty formation. But they don't have Frank Harris. Frank Harris, he was there forever. And losing him, and honestly, I still don't know. Somebody told me, like, they think he had another year. And I was like, please don't tell me that with Frank Harris. But he is gone. He is moving on. And the quarterback position, I think, is where we should start, CJ. Owen McCown, who I believe is the is he the son of Josh McCown, if I'm not mistaken, right?
That's right.
So he's from a quarterback legacy. He is there on campus. He's a redshirt sophomore this year. His best performance was actually in the bowl win over Marshall, 251 yards, two touchdowns, 35-17 win. Looked really good. Then there's Eddie Lee Marburger. He's a junior. His best performance was in the loss versus Army, 239 yards, three touchdowns. They lost that game 37-29. You brought that one up. And then there's a wild card. You may be more familiar with this young man, CJ, than I, because obviously your knowledge in recruiting, obviously recruiting experience. Demetrius Davis is a young man out of Alabama State that transferred. What do we know about him? Because a lot of folks that I'm talking to down there, they say, hey, don't be surprised if that young man potentially wins the job. And he's probably not the most discussed or talked about of that group.
Yeah, that's a multi-time. He's a kind of a Houston area legend, Rod. That's a North Shore graduate, was the quarterback of those state championship runs back in, I don't want to say the day, but, you know, a few years ago, was originally committed to Auburn, transferred originally, and now ends up down here at UTSA. Again, that's a very talented kid. You talk to anybody from the Houston area, you talk to anybody at North Shore, they'll tell you this kid's a gamer. And I think he falls under that range of maybe the size was a factor in most of his recruitment.
Yep.
Of course, he played with some very talented kids as well. But he plays football to win the game. And that's what you like out of your quarterback, right? You know, you saw it out of Baker Mayfield. Sam Ehlinger had a lot of it. Guys that will just will their team to victory. Just kind of get on my back and I'll take you to the promised land. That's what he has. So I'm going to be interested to see if it's him or if it's Owen McCown that'll trot out against the Longhorns week three. Because, you know, we talked about it. Owen McCown only really had that one start against Marshall. But he played extended snaps against Tennessee. And I wanted to bring that up because they got whooped against Tennessee. They lost 45-14. But the numbers of Owen McCown in that game, about 18 of 20 for 170 yards, two touchdowns. He threw an interception. But that 18 of 20, that efficiency against a good Tennessee team that was ranked top 25 at the time last year, that's eye-opening to me. That's his first real, you know, game experience at the college level to step in and to play that well. Okay, maybe this game is meant for him, right? And I think that's a bit impressive at the moment. The question to me, where does his targets go? You know, who are his wide receivers? And I know you got some numbers here, but you lose your top three wide receivers from a year ago. The number one guy returning this year is your tight end. It's Oscar Cardenas. That's a great piece to have, right? But after that, it's Willie McCoy with only 17 receptions on 23 targets in 9 games. So who's going to be your guys that stand up and kind of take that next step? I'm a big fan of David Amador. He's also a North Shore guy and played with Demetrius Davis early. So he was a guy that made all sorts of plays whenever I watched him back in high school. I'll be eager to see if he you know, kind of, you know, cracks that lineup, that starting role or whatever. But that's a question mark because if you go 5 wide as often as they do, you got to have horses in the stable. Right now that stable's, you know, trotting out some new ponies to figure out, you know, whether or not they can play with the big boys.
That's a great point. He lost Joshua Cephas. I believe it's Tyke Kellogg. They've had the last couple of years, last 2 years, they've had a really talented wide receiving core. And it was a really evolved passing game because of Frank Harris, too. And by the way, you brought him up. Oscar Cardenas, I'm a fan. He last year, for a big man, now, by the way, he's not as big. Little nugget, he lost 20 pounds. So UTSA fans have been excited. He was 6'4", 285 last year. Apparently now he's down to 265. This guy, I think he's an NFL tight end. I'm not joking. I think he actually can play on Sundays. He's 6'4", 280. He was 280. Now he's 265. He said his 40-yard dash, I was doing some digging, his 40-yard dash time went from 4.9 to 4.7, so he's a little bit faster. And they're projecting this is going to be his best year. Now, it'll be the year without a veteran quarterback, but it could end up being, you talked about it, if Owen McCown wins that job, or whoever wins that job, safety blanket for a young quarterback. Dang. Yep. Boom. A veteran tight end, a big target like Oscar Cardenas. So I like his game. He actually may be, right now, he could be the best player on offense. Honestly, if you look at it, in the backfield, they got some good players in the backfield. Kavarian Barnes is a good player. Yep. Had over 700 rushing yards last year, 6 touchdowns. But when you go look at it, it's possible that the breakout player on that offense could be Oscar Cardenas. They actually do need, though, one of those receivers to step up. That, like you said, that's going to be a big concern. They lost a lot of their target share with eligibility and guys hitting the transfer portal as well. So that's something to look at. And also the offensive line. I was looking at it. They lost two all-conference players off the offensive line.
They're old,
Yeah. This act, remember when they lost to Texas, don't you remember how many injuries they had on the O-line?
Yeah.
Remember, I don't want to say they had like three starters out on the O-line, if I'm not mistaken. Matter of fact, they lost one during the game when I went back and rewatched it. So that, to me, I think could be the thing that they could be troublesome and bring really cause regression for the Jeff Traylor program, just because they've had the benefit of having a pretty good O-line the last 2 years. They lost Terrell Haynes. He was a second-team all-conference player, and Ernesto Almaraz. He was a third-team all-conference player. They do bring back their guard, Corey Gadinet. I believe I probably pronounced his name wrong. I apologize about that if I did. But Mekhi Hart is a tackle they bring back. Finley Tatafu is another offensive lineman they bring back. So they bring back, you know, three offensive linemen. They got another one, I believe, from New Mexico, a center from New Mexico, C.J. James, via the transfer portal. So the offensive line, how quickly that group comes together, in addition to, like you said, the receiving core, I think that's going to play a huge role in how quickly this offense can find its groove. And hopefully that won't be by week three.
Yeah, no doubt about that. It's a very similar offensive line position as Michigan, where you got to replace a lot. But the guys that are walking into that starting rotation are all very experienced. You know, they've all been in the college weight room. They've all been in a college program for quite a while. Again, you look at who they're trotting out right now, Rod, their center coming in from New Mexico. That's an interesting piece to me. That's a big-time ball player. His name escapes me at the moment. I'm trying to find it real quick.
Is it C.J. James?
That's it. Tough name to forget. Trust me.
Well done. Well done, CJ. Well, you set me up on that one. Good job. Good job. I fell for it. Hook, line, and sinker, too.
So that's he's, again, a veteran guy, has been around the block a little bit, played some ball at New Mexico, comes in now. That continuity and kind of coordination amongst the offensive line is going to be key. You know, you look back again, UTSA very rarely gets punked on the offensive line. That's one of their staples, one of those traits of that program. And I mean, if you look at it, even with some departures, you no longer have Frank Harris, you no longer have Joshua Cephas, some departures from the offensive line, Rod. They're still the number one team in the American in ESPN's FPI at 56. Wow. So they can play some ball. They've taken note of what they've added on both offense and defense, who's in the stable ready to get running. That's not a team you can take lightly. I think Texas needs to come in ready to play and get out to a much quicker start than they did in 2022. But at the end of the day, the talent should overrun this game on the Texas side of things. It would certainly help if they got out to a fast start, however.
Yeah, like I said, we know Jeff Traylor, he had the right game plan. His game plan in 2022 was ball control. Just convert and keep the football and keep Sark's offense off the field. That kept him in that game for 2.5 quarters until the dam broke. So Jeff Traylor's a hell of a coach, and I think that's why everybody's so high on it. I think everybody's still surprised Jeff Traylor's still there at UTSA. I don't even know how that is. How is that the case? How is he still there? We've talked about that enough. But keep in mind the back. Right? I mean, that's a blessing to have him still there. Keep in mind, the backfield also is a strength for them. I brought up Kavarian Barnes, but Robert Henry and Rocco Griffin, a lot of people think that trio could end up, you know, rushing for well over 1,500 yards, maybe get close to 2,000 yards as a group. All right, let's jump to the defensive side of things here, because defensively, as we know, here in Longhorn country, they lost arguably their best defensive player in Trey Moore, because he is now a member of the Longhorn football roster. Looking at the defense, though, I mean, last year they were highly productive. Now, part of that is Trey Moore, but this is a group that had 46 sacks. They were second in the conference in sacks last year, fifth in tackles for loss. And I think they actually do have a couple of guys, if they step up this year, that could end up being impact players on defense. Jamori Robinson last year had 4.5 sacks for him. It looks like he could be a good player for him. Looks like he may step up potentially in that role, that void that's now left by Trey Moore.
That's exactly where I was going to go. You know, the 4.5 sacks might not jump off the page to you, but he's got 11 tackles for loss, and he's 6'6", 235. Interestingly, Rod, you know, UTSA a year ago was trotting out Trey Moore and Jamari Robinson, only about 235 on the edges, right? You know, you don't see what we're seeing for Texas last year with Baron Sorrells pushing 260, Ethan Burke pushing 265. We're talking about guys like, you know, Colton Vosick's up to 260, Zena Umiozulu 255 coming in. You know, Texas got the bigger, kind of lengthier.
Yeah, Lance Jackson. What is he? What's Lance Jackson coming in? What's he supposed to be? 6'6", 270?
270 already, yeah. Like you see where Texas and UTSA kind of differ on their edges. However, they still find that production. And I know that number of being second in the conference in sacks, a lot of that comes from Trey Moore, who will now be in a Longhorns uniform, right?
Yep.
Jamori Robinson's very interesting to me. 11 tackles for loss, 6'6", a very lengthy wingspan, 235 pounds. I'm not saying he's going to give Kelvin Banks or Cam Williams an issue, but if there's a guy on that defensive line to keep an eye on, it's him, because you've seen the production before. And again, at that kind of length, I think it doesn't matter what level of ball you play, because wingspans translate, right? If you're an edge rusher and you got that quick first step, that's issues. So again, I'm not saying this is the guy that's going to win them the game, but he's certainly a guy that I could see causing some issues as the game progresses.
I totally agree with you. Just sidebar, Mel Kiper says still to this day his favorite metric in evaluations is arm length and wingspan. Because that's what you said. He said it translates from any level. You can play in the lowest levels of college football to the highest levels of the NFL. Wingspan, arm length still translates. They actually Kendrick Blackshear is also a part of this UTSA team now. I can't fail to mention that. He is transferring from Texas there. They also lost some. They lost a lot in their secondary. Their secondary was a good group, actually, the last couple of years. We know that. They got guys in the NFL from that secondary for the last few years. But they lost Cam Alexander to Oregon, transferred.
Good player.
Oregon plucked him. Yeah, and then they lost. I talked about Rashad Wisdom, who was a safety for them, a team captain for them. His eligibility exhausted, so he's gone as well. And, of course, we just talked about Trey Moore. I mean, that was a lot of big-time playmakers that you're losing on defense. They brought in a transfer, Ian Jackson, from Alabama. So they got a transfer. They say that he potentially could be an impact player for them. They also got Denver Harris, who we need to talk about a little bit, a cornerback who initially went to A&M and then with LSU and now is at UTSA. Let me know, Mama. What are your thoughts about Denver? Because coming out, I mean, he was one of the top corners in the country.
Yeah, oh, yeah. No, it's funny. Most of these guys we're singling out, Rod, are all North Shore guys, funny enough, right? You know, David Amador, Demetrius Davis, Denver Harris is another. Nice. Listen, folks will remember Denver Harris, and Texas fans probably as the guy that they're glad, the one five-star that they're glad did not end up in a Longhorn uniform, right? Had his issues at Texas A&M, goes to LSU, had issues there, now at UTSA. This is basically his last chance to get things right. So it's up to him, obviously, to remain on the field. But I think anybody who's ever seen him play would say, yeah, that's what a D1 Power 5, you know, five-star cornerback should look like. The issue is right here. So if he's able to stay on the field, that's a guy that I think certainly could provide some issues for Texas to, you know, offensively. The other guy I was going to mention was Elliot Davison. He's the only guy returning on this roster with multiple interceptions. No one else on this UTSA roster had two interceptions in 2023. And, I mean, he only had two interceptions. So this isn't a team that got a lot of hands-on footballs in 2023. Only 0.8 interceptions per game. They weren't ball hawks, and I think that's interesting when you consider the pressure that they were getting with Jamori Robinson and Trey Moore a year ago. You expect that to be a complementary aspect of their defense, and it wasn't actually the case. So with Trey Moore now departing and kind of leaning more on Jamori Robinson to figure that out, if Texas is able to, you know, kind of silence him, keep him under wraps, I don't know if they're going to be able to necessarily jump those passing lanes, even with, you know, those guys no longer there, right? You know, you expect, you know, your defensive backs to come up with more footballs, balls on the ground when you have a great pass rush. It plays off. If that pass rush isn't there, I'm thinking it's going to be a clean night for Quinn Ewers. That certainly pays off with the guys that Texas have at its wide receiver and tight end rooms right now.
That's a great point, though, because and even though they lost some really good players out of secondary, you saying that they didn't get their hands on a lot of footballs kind of tracks with a number that I found. I was looking at some of their just some of the trends and patterns as a defense. They play a lot of two deep safeties. Matter of fact, they play as much, if not more, two deep safeties as any team in the group of six. You're talking about over 75% of the time they're two deep. And I almost wonder if it's a bend, don't break, or at least last year, the philosophy was we bend, but we don't break. That's what that tells me when you don't have more balance in your two high looks and your single high looks. Single high looks are your cover. That's your man coverage. Those are usually your fire zones and your cover threes. You know, you take more chances when you go single high to try to manipulate the pressure package in the front. So maybe they just play a lot of conservative football last year, keeping the top on the defense, keeping everything in front of them. That's kind of what that feels like to me, especially with your observation there as well. They did bring in some more players in the secondary via the transfer portal. Zach Morris, not saved by the Bills, Zach Morris, but a cornerback. And then Jamarius Lewis is another defensive back they brought in via the transfer portal. Hopefully that can make an impact for them. UTSA last season gave up a lot of explosive plays. They allowed 63 plays of 20-plus yards, and they have to replace an all-conference punter, which is not a small thing. When you're a defense, trust me, that as a defense, being able to pin an offense back deep, forced them to march 70, 80 yards. That means a lot to a defense, and they lost an all-conference punter. So also something else that Jeff Traylor needs to replace. If you made a list of the top 10 best players on the UTSA team, six or seven of them would probably be on defense, though. I still think the strength of this team is on, at least the proven commodities, more proven commodities on defense. Offense, got a lot of talent, but obviously got to replace a lot as well. All right, we don't make predictions because it's way, way, way too early, but I think CJ and I feel confident Longhorns are going to find a way to win versus UTSA. Jeff Traylor, don't sleep on him. He's a hell of a coach. No doubt. I guarantee he'll make it interesting. And I'm going to throw this out there right. He's going to have a trick play or something ready to go first quarter, first drive. You see what he did last time? What did he have? Double pass. Remember the double pass? They got old Texas on line wise. And remember on that really long drive in the first quarter, it took up the whole damn first quarter, CJ. Remember right before they kick a field goal, and this is after, I think it was like a 13, 14 play drive. Man, it took forever. Yep. He was getting ready to do something funky, and they got called for like a penalty. It was a pre-snap penalty. But I think they brought like Cardenas in motion under center. Like out of an empty formation. Oh, they were doing some funky stuff, man. Yeah. And he's going to have some funky stuff ready. You might as well call him Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch, man. I'm telling you, Jeff Traylor going to get wild in that game. He's a hell of a coach. I got too much respect for him to sleep on that dude. All right, CJ, any closing comments on the UTSA preview?
Yeah, I'm eager to see who wins that quarterback battle. The other thing I want to mention is penalties. I don't think UTSA was – anything more than a mediocre team in terms of where they ranked nationally in the world of penalties. What was interesting though, they averaged almost a penalty and a half more on the road than they did at home. So that's something to watch with them coming to Austin. Obviously, Texas again looking to bounce back. I'll say in terms of the penalties, that could be one that could certainly help get off to a hot start for the Longhorns and certainly start extending drives or lengthening drives in the terms of defensively for UTSA. So I like the Longhorns in this game. I think most people will. How large of a victory?
Yeah.
We'll have to wait and see, I guess. You know, again.
Yeah, I'm not going to disrespect Traylor like that by picking some blowout and all that because Traylor's just too good of a coach. But to your point about all the new faces on offense, on the O-line, skill positions, and quarterback, that's when you usually get a lot of penalties, especially on the road in the most hostile environment they'll play in all year long. That's a great point to bring up. One more nugget before we get done here. They have their pass game coordinator and their assistant head coach is Joe Price. He was the coach, I believe, you probably know him, Demetrius Davis at North Shore.
That's right.
So getting back to your point about them having, like four guys from North Shore on the team, that probably is the connection. And that should make Demetrius Davis feel really comfortable, maybe throwing to a former target he threw to in high school, and he might have a coach calling some of the plays, I guess he called in high school. So we'll see how that works out. All right, CJ, thank you very much for the wisdom, brother, and the breakdown, as always. And thank you guys for joining us. We'll be back next week to break down the week 4 opponent for the Texas Longhorns. But in the meantime, join us on Texas Football, same time, same channel. Hook 'em, Horns.
Hook 'em.